Blog Talk Radio.
Let your hands for Angela.
Thank you.
Is Melba Moore available?
This is Melba.
Hi, Melba. This is Robert Calloway.
Hi.
How are you?
Very well.
I thought I'd call in and hear your voice.
Oh.
Are we on the radio?
Oh,
Hello. Yes. Is Melba Moore there?
Speaking.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm okay. Welcome back again to Show Talk with Angela Butler.
Thank you.
So, Ms. Moore, are you looking forward to performing at the McDonald's Gospel Fest this 2014?
Honey, you asked right one, baby. Yes.
All right. Okay.
It's going to be very exciting because there's all these really wonderful women of worship of gospel. I mean, like some of the best-known ladies in gospel. So I'm very excited, yes.
Yes, it seems like it's going to be an all, well, not seem, it is going to be an all-star event because some of the people at the McDonald's Gospel Fest 2014 on Mother's Day weekend will be gospel singers, Yolanda Adams, CeCe Winans, Shirley Caesar, Tremaine Watkins, Vicky Winans, Sissy Houston, a lot of other gospel singers.
All the great ones. Well, not all of them, but many of them.
Okay. So you're looking forward to the gospel fest?
All right. That's what we're, yeah, yeah.
Okay. You are the first black actress to be in a Broadway show.
No. I'm not the first one.
No. You're not?
No, there have been many before me. Ruby Dee, Diane Carroll, many.
Oh, okay.
Leslie Upkins, Uggams, Lola Falana. I could go on and on. I'm not the first.
Okay. All right. But you did replace Diane Keaton?
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, I'm the first black actress to replace a white actress, yes.
Okay, all right. Thank you for correcting me on that. Okay. You were cast in 1970 to portray in the Broadway play Pearly.
Right.
It was a musical. Your first cast character was Luther Bell.
That's right.
Gussie Mae Jenkins.
Are you from the South?
Yes, I am.
Did you say it so well?
Okay. So, were you happy to play this character?
Oh, she was such a joyful, funny character. Yes, and then she got to sing, so it was a lot of fun. To be honest with you, I was scared because it was only my second role in acting, period, and it was my second Broadway show, and I really didn't study acting, so I was scared a lot. But the role was such fun and so joyful.
Okay. Okay. Were you surprised at the three awards that you won? Playing the role of Pearly.
Very surprised. Yes. Yes.
Right. So, you recently were in a theater play in Atlanta, Georgia. Did you enjoy playing the character in that play? And if you could say the name of the play.
The play was called Good God Almighty. So I think the title should tell you it was a comedy. And it doesn't happen, but it was also a gospel musical. So, my character was very funny and very high energy and very kind of, I usually play kind of sweet characters, but she was very mean. So, but, you know, I guess because of my personality and the character, nobody really took her that seriously in terms of her meanness. They kind of laughed at her.
Okay.
So it was really funny. It was fun.
Okay. In 1990, you were involved in the hit, it was Lift Every Voice and Sing, and it became the African-American National Anthem. Would you like to tell how that came about?
For sure. It was originally called the Negro National Hymn because it's been identified like We Shall Overcome with our African-American struggle to become first-class citizens. And Dr. Dorothy Height, who was the head of the National Negro Council of Women, is very, very politically entrenched, especially with the Democratic National Party, because traditionally, not that they do so much now, but they really represented the African-American cause. And it was the Democratic Black Caucus along with myself and Dr. Height, that helped enter Lift Every Voice and Sing into the Library of Congress on record as our official national anthem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And the recording was done by me when I was with Capitol Records with many other very famous African-American singers so that we could share the song and it wouldn't be considered my song because a lot of African-American people didn't know that we had a Negro national hymn. Because first of all, we don't call ourselves Negroes anymore. It happened, you know, so many years ago. And I wanted to be sure that it wasn't considered my hit record. Because I, before I sang the song, I didn't know that we had a song that identified us as our, you know, as our anthem. Of course, we all know about the Star Spangled Banner. And every nation has a song that identifies them. They have their own anthem. But since African Americans came here as slaves and had to fight and die to become a nation within a nation, that's the song that identifies us. So I let me see who else was on the record. It was Debbie Allen directed the video. Jesse Jackson did the voiceover. The Clark sisters, Dionne Warwick, Freddie Jackson, Stevie Wonder, and a host of other, Jeffrey Osborne, Bobby Brown. I can't remember them all, but a host of wonderful, wonderful African-American singers, artists, helped me to do a beautiful version of it, a recording and a video, so that we could, you know, bring it to national attention.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. So that's the African-American National Anthem. You helped bring that about. Okay. So you've had a great career. It doesn't seem to be anything you haven't did as an artist. And I hope I'm saying this correctly. Were you the first black actress to play the role Fantine in Les Miserables?
Les Miserables is how you say it. Can you say it?
Miss Miserables.
Say Les Miserables.
Les Miserables.
Okay, that's close enough. Yes. We see it's back on Broadway again. It's a Broadway musical. It's kind of semi-classical in style. And it's about the French Revolution. So the fact that an African-American actress played the role was really quite unique because it's not about African or black people. It's about the French Revolution. So that was a very unique opportunity for a black actress. So, yes, I was the first. I think I'm the only black actress to play the role. And that was a female lead as well. Yeah.
All right. You've had, according to your bio, and it's not exact, it's according to your bio, but you had 76 singles. You've been on 14 compilations. You have 19 albums. I mean, you've had an astounding career.
Thank you.
I was just wondering, when you look back at some of that, sometimes you ask yourself, how did I do all that?
Well, Angela, I had a lot of help. You don't do anything by yourself. I had lots of good songwriters and producers, agents, managers, musicians, just a lot of people. You know, when you put out a record, there's a whole host of people just to go out and sell it and promote it and make posters and radio personalities that play the record. So it's a lot of people that help you.
Oh, okay. All right, I understand that. You also, Beyonce Knowles at the time and Cuba Gooding Jr. worked on the film with you with the Fight and Temptations. Would you like to talk a little bit about that film?
Oh, well, I would encourage people to go on the Internet and look at it. I think you can probably get it on YouTube, you know, still, you know, blow it up. What do you call it? Punch it up. Quick it up.
Okay.
I guess I'm a little old school here. And see it. It's a wonderful family movie. A lot of people like to watch it over and over and over. Or check out your cable channels because it's always aired again and again. But it's a wonderful gospel musical comedy, love story. And once again, it has some incredible singers and artists, and the OJs were in it. Ann Nesby, Shirley Caesar, Angie Stone, of course, Beyonce Knowles. I can't think of all the people that were in it. Steve Harvey, Yolanda Adams. So it was an all-star cast too. But it's a really, really sweet story. It's a comedy story, and it's about Cuba Gooding Jr., who goes to New York and starts to work on Wall Street. And he's not such a nice guy, and he gets in debt and everything. And he comes back home because his auntie passed away. He comes back to the funeral. And then, of course, he falls in love with Beyonce, and he comes to the church. He's inherited the church choir. So it gives us an excuse to sing all kinds of great gospel music and fun music. And it's very funny. I enjoyed doing it. I really.
Right.
I'll say one thing, and I hope you can get this good joke.
I thought
that Beyonce Knowles made everybody look short and ugly because she's tall and beautiful.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, Miss Moore, you're beautiful yourself. I mean, you are. And not only that, God gifted you with a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
I mean, a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
If you don't mind, I usually go to break about this time, but it's some callers on.
Okay.
I'm going to go to the phones and see if any of them will talk. Okay.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello, caller. How are you doing?
Hi.
Good, how are
my
you
name
today?
Is I'm good. I'm going to talk to Melba because she's like.
Hi, I'm here. How are you? Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Oh, Alice Johnson.
Hi, Alice. Welcome. How are you?
Good. I admire you since I was a kid when I was growing up on that show. You used to be on there with Kristen Davis.
Yes. Uh huh.
What was the name of that show? Because I try to tell people that you did a show, but nobody remembers but me. You know, like I said, you were like my idol.
It was called the Melba Moore Clifton Davis Show, and it was on for a very short amount of time. But once again, you can probably punch it up on YouTube or something if you want to see it.
Yeah. Well, I can't believe I'm actually talking to you.
Oh, it was great of you to call in.
Well, thank you. Nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. All right. Are there any other callers with anything to say?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. How you doing?
I just wanted to inquire how Melba feels about these new reality shows, the singing shows.
The singing shows?
Do they have longevity to them or?
I don't know about longevity. You know why? Because I think we see so much of them and we see so much of the personal lives. And I think I'm just guessing, but I think they have to kind of start mess and all kinds of negativity to keep us interested because, to me, I think we see a little bit too much, and so we might lose interest. That might be the case, except that I find myself sometimes watching them, I guess because people are just interesting to watch. I don't really know. I think I get a little concerned that we see so much fussing and fighting and backbiting and I don't know that I think some of it is real, to be honest with you. I don't think they're just making it up, but I don't know.
Yeah, because I remember, like, when they have shows about, or the backstory, what the music was in the 60s and 70s and even the 80s, they don't necessarily talk about the backstabbing and all this. They talk about love and family and how friendship grew out of the music. And now all you hear is all this infighting between groups and between artists that are trying to get into the field, into the entertainment industry.
I think they kind of highlight that. I think that probably always happened, but that's what I mean. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes maybe, I don't know, we should have a little manners and gentility about people watching every little personal thing that you do. I mean, certain things, I feel like we don't have a gentility anymore. We just do anything in front of people. And we know people have personal hygiene and all that, but do we really have to expose all of that in front of everybody all the time? And we just curse and we just... Yeah, I don't know. We don't seem to have a sensitivity that somebody's watching you and you're influencing them. And I don't know. Maybe I've come from the era where maybe it was too whitewashed. Maybe it was too reality. I don't know. I just feel like
Yes, it's now all out there. Thank you, Melba. This is your Facebook friend, Erica Hope.
Oh,
hope
nice,
your
Erica.
Evening.
That was a good question.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Is there anybody else that has any questions? Is there anybody else that has any questions?
Are you going on tour soon, or?
As a matter of fact, I should be going on tour in a couple of weeks in a new theater piece called "Lord, I'm Coming Home." It's a new piece, and it's a gospel musical, and some people might be tired of this, but you know, this is how Broadway started. It started in the community, and people have to have an opportunity to create new pieces. It may not be, you know, when something is for Broadway, but African Americans are just now really starting to tell their stories, and so I'm not promoting it as my next big theater piece, but an actress too need to keep her chop ups and always be doing something. So there's tons and tons and tons of new theater pieces and new pieces for television and film, because black people are really starting their own niche of the industry. So I'm excited about it as a new part of the art industry. Because I think one thing is, you know, like if a few people, like a few record companies and a few film companies run everything, then it becomes a business and not an art. And when it spawns out into the community, you never know what's coming next.
Okay. All right. Is there anybody?
Wait.
Is there anybody else with any questions for Melba Moore? Okay. I'm going to take that as a no. I'm going to play Melba Moore's song, What Can I Do to Survive?
Brand new song.
Brand new song, yes.
Yay!
I just have to ask a couple of questions. Did you help write this song or any songs on your CD?
You know, I'm glad you asked that, because I think the song is so well suited to me. It sounds, I mean, a lot of people ask me, did I write it? And I didn't, but it was written by Dominic McFadden, who is the son of Gene McFadden of McFadden and Whitehead. And Gene and John wrote things especially for me, but I think this song is a wonderfully constructed song, and I think it's a hit record. So I want everybody to go out and listen to it and buy it and make it a hit.
Okay, and would you like to tell the name of the CD to the listeners?
Well, this song is What Can I Do to Survive? The CD is going to be called Forevermore, but we're still working on that.
Okay. All right. Can the listeners buy this in the stores now?
It's on Amazon.com, CD Baby, iTunes. Hopefully we'll be in the store soon.
Okay. All right. Without any more delay, listen, audience, I'm going to play a song by Miss Melba Moore, What Can I Do to Survive? And I'm only going to play snippets of it. All right.
Down. I know I can find somebody better for me. I know I can survive.
Listening audience, you were listening to Miss Melba Moore. What Can I Do to Survive? Beautiful, beautiful single.
Oh,
beautiful.
You like it, Angela?
Yes, ma'am. I love it.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. You have a beautiful voice.
Thank you, Angela.
I'm sure you hear that a lot.
Well, I don't get tired of that.
All right. So when I was reading your bio and everything and doing my research and stuff, I noticed that it said that you did voiceovers for animation characters.
Well, I've really only done one.
Okay.
The movie was called All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Oh, okay.
Quite a good time ago. When I started in the industry, I did voiceovers, you know, commercials and background studio singing, but I really only got to do one animation so far. I hope I get to do more.
Oh, okay. All right. Understand. That would be wonderful. I have to ask this. What sustains you when things are not good? I mean, when things aren't good, what keeps you going?
Well, I hate to be religious, but Jesus.
Okay, I understand that.
It's him. It's everything. He's first, middle, and last, and that's really my job. And you heard that song, Praise Is What I Do?
Yes, ma'am.
That's my job. So
okay.
Things don't really get down anymore because I guess I just stay in his face for everything. So that's
yeah. So it's God that sustains you.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So you.
How did you keep going in the business? The business is so, with all these other artists, how do you keep your momentum?
Okay, well, it's like I said, in the morning I get up very, very early. I take a big walk up this high mountain to go to church every morning. I literally go to church every morning. I receive Holy Communion. I get the word to see, okay, so that, you know, the Lord really orders my steps. So you have to get the scriptures and say, okay, what is he talking about today? How does it apply to me? What do you want me to do with the life that you gave me today, every day, each day, all day? And when I get off the phone with you, I'll probably take a look at the scriptures to see what does he want me to do with my night.
Okay. All right, nothing wrong with that. My mom does that.
Okay.
All right.
We should be following the lead.
So our kids are protected, you know.
Okay. On April 2011, you acted in a cabaret, and the act was entitled Forevermore. Would you like to talk about that?
Oh, was that probably the Carlisle? Well, yeah, that's an interesting kind of entertainment because they like a lot of what we call American songbook type of songs, like George Gershwin and Irving Berlin, and songs that like it came from the like 50s and 60s movies, and songs like by Ella Fitzgerald and Lena Horne, and you know, back from that era. They like that a lot. And they like a lot of Broadway, so that's the type of music you do. And they like you to dress very, 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 very fancy.
Oh, okay. Right.
And they don't like a whole lot of noise. They don't like a lot of bass, you know, a lot of drums. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely not R&B music, you know what I'm saying? And so you usually work like with a trio, upright bass, acoustic piano, and drums, and you can't let the drummer play too loud. So it's... And they're generally usually, you know, intimate, small kinds of rooms the cabarets are. They're not huge. So
okay.
It's a very intimate, quiet kind of entertainment.
Okay. I have a question. Oh, of course I do. when you think about the generation of today,
of youth, particularly African-American youth, and you watch the TV, let's say, you watch TV and you see what's going on. In your opinion, is it different? Is it better now than it was, like, let's say, 20 years ago? I mean, and what advice would you have for young girls dropping out of school, teens?
Ooh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's a hard one, Angela.
Okay.
First thing, I would try to encourage anybody listening to your show, please, if there's any way that you can stand it, because sometimes people have great challenges in their lives, and I would be speaking to a question maybe in ignorance if I don't know what people are going through. Maybe their finances are bad. Maybe the family is broken, and they have to work, and they can't, you know, they can't stay in school. But if there's any way to finish your education, please do that. It doesn't guarantee that you're going to get a job, but what it does, it gives you discipline. It shows you that if you don't know something, you can learn it, and it gives you credentials, and it gives you the ability to find knowledge that's already organized, that somebody already researched. And when you don't do that and you drop out of that kind of a organized system, you have to figure it out yourself, and that means you have always are always starting from scratch. You're at such a loss if you don't finish your education. And I don't know that many people explain to you why. It's not that you can just go get a job. You don't have a guarantee of a job because you finish high school or you finish college. But it gives you more of a social base. You get, you know, to interact with other people. You learn how to accept authority. There are a lot of things that you get out of being in school that you really need to have for your social skills and to get along in life, that it's very detrimental for you not to have these things. So I would first please beg you, if I could beseech you, stay in school.
Okay.
And how is it for kids? In many ways, I feel it's much, much, much better. I won't speak just to African Americans, but especially in, small business has always been the backbone of every nation, even though all we really hear about is the huge corporations, and we see the big, powerful effect that they have on people. But each one of those big corporations are made up of individual people who bring some skill or some part of their life to the whole community in some way. And especially in the music industry, it's become an indie industry. A person like you now, you know, doesn't have to go to CBS or BLS to be on the air.
Yes, Sam, that's true.
As a good example. And I think in that way it's very, very much better. It makes the playing field more even open for anybody to get on on the air, for instance. But there are other areas of business where that's true, too. For instance, the recording industry. There's only like a couple record companies left, and most of the industry is now independent, or what I would call small business. To me, that's a good thing because it gives diversity. Not just a few companies decide what kind of music you're going to listen to, or what kind of business you're going to do, or how you do your business, or how you run your show. You're more in charge. So that, I think, is good. I think some of the influences and the styles and the way of doing things are very negative, and you know, people do things like in the realm of, say, free speech, and they are very negative and very foul, and you know, without any care or sensitivity to how you influence young people or people who are crazy, or you know, that you have an effect on society that may not be good. And it's so wide open, and you know, anybody can do anything. And I think we're having a trend because of that, where people are so used to getting their information and their influences from the media and not really choosing what's right or what's good for themselves. We're going toward a kind of a general lax in morality, and that is dangerous and it's bad and it's wrong. That part, you know, whatever area you could want to talk about where we were pushing the envelope, like for instance, my first Broadway show was Hair. Now, some of the things that we did, I'm sorry for, we didn't know any better. You know, we were really encouraging people to do drugs and to have illicit sex and just do anything you felt like. And now, of course, that I'm older, I know when you're young, okay, that can be understood. But there has to be some responsibility, and I think the recording industry, although like rap is a great art form, and it, of course it's come from the ghetto where we've been deprived of good education, good jobs and things. That's not going to keep you from being creative. God made you creative, you're going to create. And I'm not faulting people for creating music and art out of where they live and where they've come from. That's all you have. That's your life. But I do fault corporations and industries that really help to promote the most negative things and make them fashionable because they don't care because it makes money and because they pander to young people before they are really able to make intelligent decisions because they'll do, you know, kids will do whatever's fun or whatever's fashionable, you know, and that's, it's allowed, it's legal, but it's dangerous in my opinion. And when it's so strong and so fashionable until even older people, you know, kind of forget that maybe that's not so good for us and we don't monitor ourselves and we just kind of sit back and relax and take any old garbage in. That's dangerous, but I think then people have to take responsibility to be successful at things that are positive. So you don't just sit back and complain. You know, you put something out there that's successful and positive. You have to, you know, because it's commercial and it's media and it's popularity. So you seem like you're a very positive person, so I want you to be very popular as well. So there's a, you know, there's a place and a vision and a voice for that which is positive and not just to complain about that which is not. And right now, I think things are better for young people in that way. It's totally open, but those of us who know better have to try to set a good example and guide and guard the morality of our young people coming along and not just throw them out there and say, okay, well, do whatever you want to do.
Okay. All right. So we have, I think 25 or 30 listeners. I'm going to go back to the phones, okay?
Okay.
And see if anybody has anything they want to say to you or any questions they want to ask.
Great.
All right, callers, the mics are open.
This is Ken Harris.
Hi, Ken. Welcome.
How you doing?
I'm doing
very well. Hey, my diva. How you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Hey. I was just calling to say, Mel, but you should have told me a little earlier that you was going to be on here. I would have had this around and more people would have called in.
Oh.
You know, because I pick up your posts every day.
Oh.
I'm Killer Ken.
Hi, Killer.
So it's the first time I talked to you in, like, forever. But I just wanted to say thank you for being the positive role model that you are. You give me something to post every day that's positive, and my people seem to really eat it up. That's why I try to push you out to as many places as I can on my social internet work.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Love you to death. Keep up
all
the
right.
good work. All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, are there any other people who have something that they'd like to ask Ms. Moore?
Hello.
Hi, Mel. Hello.
Hi.
How you doing? My name is Harriet Singleton.
Hi. Very, very much
I would just like
welcome.
To say hello, and you keep up the good work as being a positive role model for people.
Thank you.
And
fine
Melba,
art,
I've never
yes.
met you, but my sister, my older sister Sharon Williams, she went to school with you at RSI.
Oh, an Artie. Yes.
Yes.
Hey.
Yeah, my older sister went to school with you.
Wonderful.
And you look beautiful for your age, too.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, then. You have a blessed day. I just wanted to say hello.
All right. Thank you for calling.
All right.
Thank you
bye-bye.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Do you have something you
hello?
Want to say?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead. This is Jim from Facebook. And I had the privilege of meeting you back at your birthday party in October.
Oh, yay. We had a good party.
Oh, that was a great party. I wanted to ask you, because I know that you have reached out with social media, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and things like that. And some celebrities have chosen not to. Do you feel that it is important to use these social media avenues to introduce a new generation of people to you, perhaps folks that know who you are, but know who you are now.
Absolutely. It's a great opportunity to reach out to all different kinds of people that, you know, that wasn't available to us 15 years ago. I mean, that's a short amount of time, and it continues to increase, and I'm finding that, first of all, I find it very interesting that we can have physical contact or, you know, vocal contact with each other, like you and I are speaking now. We're back in the day, I mean, you know, if you're on TV or radio or whatever, that just wasn't possible. It's so good. It's excellent. I mean, of course, to get a younger generation to know who I am, but just to reach out and to be able to do that with all kinds of people and have people, you know, they can respond. They're not just out there somewhere. They're real people.
Okay. All right. Are there any other questions? Are there any other questions for Ms. Moore? Okay, I guess not. We'll go back to the interview.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Hi.
Yes, this is Killer Ken again. One more question, because I wanted to find this on Blog Talk so that I can send the archive around to my people in case they missed this.
Okay. The show is Show Talk with Angela Butler. If you go to my Facebook page, either under Angela Butler or Show Talk with Angela Butler, you should see the link.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What type of charities do you work with?
I just did a benefit for the Bowery Mission. They feed the hungry. They're like the oldest and the biggest organization with soup kitchens. That was one I just did. On fellowship with an organization called, I can't think of the name now, but they are a foster care home that has little children, and they also take care of moms that need help, you know, taking care of, they house the children, but they also will take care of the moms in a separate place so that, you know, the moms can be with their children, but they actually, you know, take care of their medical needs and educational needs, and some of them are special needs children as well. But I'll work with anybody who wants me to.
Okay.
But I'm trying to be useful here.
Okay. All right. Freddie Jackson is still one of my favorite artists, male artists, and You made a CD with Freddie Jackson, and I thought it was beautiful. What was it like working with Freddie Jackson?
Freddie?
Yeah.
Oh, you shouldn't have asked me that question, Angela.
Okay.
Because I don't know how many of your listeners have ever seen Freddie live, because over the years he could almost, I guess, do stand-up comedy. The man is just funny. So in the beginning, I would have a difficulty working with him on a recording session because he would make me laugh so much. And then, you know, I lose my voice. I couldn't sing, you know. So I said, look, you got to get out of here until this time. We have to sing separately. We can't sing together.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, we tour together and travel together. So I could say it's a lot of fun, but being around him is like he's hilarious. And, of course, that type of person brings out the comedy in me, and so we act very immature. What can I tell you?
Okay.
I love working with Freddie. He's I love him.
Okay. Do you still work on your one-woman play, which is entitled Still Standing, the Melba Moore Story? Do you still perform that?
Yes, every once in a while I get to put it up on tour, and I'm going to put it up a few times. I can't remember the exact dates right now, but I have been contracted to put it up about two or three times around the country in the next few months over the summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go to break. Listeners, you're listening to Ms. Melba Moore, and I'm going to play her song again.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Right, and it's what can I do to survive?
What we had is just a memory. Yeah, so inseparable. We used to be. Raindrops falling down on my parade. You gave up on me. Why were you
talk with Angela Butler. Miss Melba Moore is on the show, and you just got through listening to a little bit of her single, What Can I Do to Survive? Beautiful vocals, beautiful vocals, beautiful song, beautiful words. So I guess one of my questions would be, you seem to be in a good place in your life, but if you could go back and redo anything in your life, if you could do that, go back, would you do it if you could?
There was, Angela, there are so many things I would do so differently.
Okay.
I don't have regrets, but I would do it so differently.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. I'm glad I stayed in school. That's one good thing that I did. I don't know if
you don't know.
I would have gone.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
I would have gone to a music school, not a teacher's college, but it was really good for me. And I realize now, my vocation is not so much to be a singer; it's to be a saint.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. That's first, and then every once in a while, God lets me sing and get a beautiful song like What Can I Do to Survive? I wish I had known that in the first place.
Okay. All right.
I had the cart in front of the horse.
Okay.
You know.
Did she have any kids?
Do I have children?
Yes.
Yes, I have one daughter. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Does she sing with you?
No, she could sing, but she doesn't want anything to do with singing. She said she likes the industry, but I think she likes the publicity side of it. But actually, what she's doing right now, she has her own Precious Gems business that her dad put her into and taught her about all different kinds of diamonds. I'm just finding out there's such things as yellow diamonds and pink diamonds and white. I don't know nothing about all that, you know.
But
I'm grateful that she's in, a job where she's not in my shadow, because when you're in the arts and if you're successful, it's just bigger than life, and it's hard for anybody around you to have their own space, you know.
Okay. All right.
Good question.
Thank you, ma'am. You had mentioned the media, and I like to know, what do you think about the paparazzi? Not just the media, but the
paparazzi part of it?
Yes.
They need to be outlawed. That's crazy. They hurt people. They, and I think it's all like, I know it's money driven, but it's devilish. It's devilish. It's the worst part of the paparazzi. I mean, because it's gotten, once again, we started pushing the envelope maybe 20, 30 years ago, and it's going further, further, further into the most negative aspect of it. And many of the artists to, you know, reap the benefits for. First of all, it encourages the artists, regardless of their age, to be very negative, because then whatever they do, they'll get attention.
Okay. All right. I was watching television, and I was reading some newspapers, and I saw that some of the celebrities, the real famous people like yourself, were testifying in a courtroom. So it seemed, I know Miss Halle Berry was one of them, and she was talking about how scared her child was. So I was just wondering what your input on that was.
Well, I've been in situations where, you know, the people are trying to get shots and stuff, and they'll trample you, they'll hurt you, they're callous and careless, and they don't care. That's what's bad about it. And this is totally negative. There's never a reason to be that way. But these are not people who care about anything.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. And thank you for giving me your opinion of that. So Mother's Day weekend, which I believe starts May 10th, right?
Yes.
You will be singing at the McDonald's Gospel Fest, Mother's Day weekend. I would like for you to tell the listening audience where the Gospel Fest is being held at.
It's going to be at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. So you can get tickets on the Internet. It'll say McDonald's Gospel Fest, and it'll tell you where to get tickets. I'm sure it's Ticketron and all that. And for the people that are in the Jersey area, I guess you can get it at the box office at Prudential Center.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like it's going to be a beautiful Mother's Day weekend Gospel Fest.
Oh, honey, you know how gospel people do. They will turn it up.
Yeah, a lot of famous women there, including yourself. I was saying earlier, there was CeCe Winans and, oh gosh.
Dorothy Norwood.
Yes, Miss Shirley Caesar, Tremaine Watkins.
Tremaine Hawkins, that's her name.
Hawkins, yes. Vicki Winans and Sissy Houston, the mother of Whitney Houston.
Whitney, yes.
She was one of my, next to you, she was one of my favorite female singers. I love to hear her sing.
Great artist.
Okay. Yeah. She's definitely missed.
Yes, absolutely.
Trying
to think of, Dottie Peoples. There's so many I didn't think of to say. I love Dottie Peoples. Do you ever watch Dottie?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
I do.
Yes, I've seen her. When she comes she used to come on Bobby Jones' Gospel.
Yeah, I like to watch her when she says, walk, and she starts trudging across the stage.
I said, go on, Dottie. Walk, girl, walk.
And she always wears these beautiful, beautiful gowns. But, you know, of course, each of the gospel divas, ladies. Oh, and Erica Campbell from Mary Mary.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Some really, really wonderful gospel songstresses that are just always exciting to listen to. I'm trying to think. CeCe Winans, of course. But I think the Clark sisters are going to be Clark family. Going to be there too. They're always amazing to watch.
Okay. All right. Well, that is great. I know you're going to have a good time, and it's going to be a beautiful event, gospel event. All right. Well, is there anything you'd like to say, like maybe where your next concert is going to be or anything like that?
Well, I guess the next major one is going to be the Gospel Fest on May 10th. So you've done a wonderful job of that, Angela.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. And you've played my single twice, so I think people are going to remember to check it out for themselves on iTunes, CD Baby, Amazon.com. Okay. And, of course, I want you to come to my website, melvinmoore.com, and Facebook and Twitter. And what's the other one we do now?
Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn,
Instagram,
and all of them.
Yeah. I'll get used to all of this in a minute.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to end the show. And if there's anything you'd like to say, we have, 3 minutes. So if there's anything you want to tell the listening audience, please go ahead.
Well, I certainly want to congratulate you on a wonderful show, Angela, and I want to encourage your listeners to support you because I think you're very sweet and very positive, and I hope you do very, very, very well and go as far as you want to go. And I thank you for using your show to help connect me to your audiences and sharing your audience with me. I thank you for that very much.
Yes, and I appreciate you coming on the show. It's great interviewing you because you are an inspiring person, woman, and I enjoy doing the interviews with you.
And tell your mom she done good, okay?
Tell my mom she done good. Okay, I will. I'll tell her. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Moore.
All righty. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Listeners, you've been listening to Ms. Melba Moore, What Can I Do to Survive? She has a song entitled, a single, What Can I Do to Survive, like I just said. Also, I'd like to say, do not forget Ivory Bell with the Blue Magic. Please sing it. Don't forget to go out and purchase his CD. And also Urban Spice Magazine. Cater to you. It's only $14.99 a year. So for those of you who like to read and like to keep up on things, check Urban Spice Magazine. And, of course, I write for Urban Spice Magazine. So I'm going to say good night, callers. Don't forget to purchase Ms. Moore's CD. And everybody have a good night. And thank you all for calling in.
Have it.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
What we had is just a memory. Yeah. So inseparable. We're you. You gave up on me. Why were you afraid?
Why were you afraid?
Alright, listeners, the next song is the Show Talk theme song that Mr. Demetrius Jeffries helped me with. So this is the last song. Good night, everyone.